Okay, I will reopen the open session of our board meeting at 7:09 p.m. Please join us in an invocation led by Ms. Polis and the flag salute led by Ms. Jimenez.
Dear Lord, please be with us this evening as we make the decision that affects this, our community. And as we start this new year, we ask a special blessing on our students and on our new superintendent. And thank you, Lord, for bringing him our way. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, right hand over the heart.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Schumacher.
Here.
Mrs. Polis.
Here.
Mrs. Miranda Jimenez.
Here.
Mr. Flowers.
Here.
Ms. Valdez.
Here.
Dr. Hammond.
I am here.
And we're glad to have
you. Okay. First item on the agenda is a report of action taken in closed session. The following action was taken in closed session on January 13, 2015, with the subsequent action being reported in open session as required by law. It was moved by Ms. Miranda Jimenez and seconded by Mr. Flowers that the following students have completed their terms and conditions of expulsion and have been approved by the Board of Education for readmission to the West Covina Unified School District. Student number 192052, lift expulsion, enroll at WCHS or EHS. And student number 188494, lift expulsion, enroll at District of Residence. The vote was 4-0. Okay, the next item on our agenda is a presentation from the East San Gabriel Valley Regional Occupational Program, award and program overview. So I will go ahead and call Dr. Adler. Unless Mr. Coughlin. Somebody want to introduce him?
Dr. Coughlin actually had a presentation, a brief overview of the presentation.
I worked on this. So Dr. Adler's here tonight and brought her team with us. She's the superintendent of the East San Gabriel Valley Regional Occupation Program. She's here tonight to present an award, and also share with us the wonderful programs that have had a positive impact on the students and community members of West Covina. So at this time, Dr. Adler.
Good evening, and we won't take a lot of your time up, but we're going to give you a very quick overview and hand some things out to you, which we are not going to give you a test on, and but that you can read at your leisure. We'll point out a few things, and Dr. Coughlin has a flash drive of everything that's in the folder, so if you wish an electronic copy, we can get that to you as well. So this is Kim Case, who is our deputy superintendent, and Ms. Josephine Quach, who is our CFO, and we're just going to walk a few things through you, and then we have two remarkable international awards for you this evening, and that's the best part. I have one upside down, though. Get it right, though. So very quickly, we're thrilled to be here first for your first meeting, Dr. Hinman.
Yeah.
And just a very quick summary of what East San Gabriel Valley Regional Occupational Program is we are what's called a Joint Powers Authority. That is actually, a lot of people don't realize that Joint Powers Authorities are not organized under the Education Code, but under the Government Code. And there are a number of different types of joint powers authorities. They can be done by cities, counties, many public agencies. The public agencies that form our joint powers authority are the 7 school districts in the East San Gabriel Valley. So you are one of the 7. West Covina is a founding member of the East San Gabriel Valley ROP, having actually had staff and board members put together the JPA agreement back in 1971, and has been a former, and I think the first actual program started in 1973. And West Covina has been a participant for 42 years, so that's kind of exciting. Not only that, not only are you a founding member and a leader in the JPA, is that we have our headquarters here at your Del Norte campus. So even though we serve 7 school districts, Baldwin Park, Azusa, clear out to the Pomona border with Walnut and Diamond Bar, and everything in between. We're headquartered here, and so our programs, a number of your students come over to Del Norte after school, in addition to having programs at all three of your campuses, Coronado High School, West Covina, and Edgewood. And we're going to walk you through that. What's in the folder is all the enrollments this year and a couple of summaries from 07, 08. We're going to talk a little bit about the cost per student, which has gone down considerably. And you can feel free to please ask questions whenever you'd like. So we like to think of ourselves as your best tenant. We are certainly your loyal tenant, having been there at that site since 1997. And it served us well, and we hope that, and the relationship with the school district here, both as a landlord-tenant and as a major, as one of the founders of that JPA, has been really a marvelous relationship, and we look forward to maintaining that. Again, we're not going to read through these, but if you take a look at the first thing, this is just your fall semester, what the classes are, and that we have at your three high schools. And under that, just a few things about, in addition to having programs for high school students, we offer programs for graduates, high school graduates, and that is, most of the time, it's low cost or no cost at all. We are federally approved to offer Pell Grants and other forms of federal financial aid, Pell Grants, loans, and Cal Grants. And then we have some other donations from private groups like the Bob Marget Foundation and the like that do scholarships. But we always have a number of your students that not only take classes from us while they're in high school, but then continue on for certification. And in 12-13, we had 73 kids from your district continue on. And so these are rolling numbers. And what that means, once they graduated from high school, they went to the Del Norte campus and they got a certification in things like medical assisting, EMT, computer technology, A-plus certification, and a number of other kinds of programs, even criminal justice. And so a number of them also, these are transferable units, and a number of them have also then gone on for college degrees. And so it's not an either-or concept to whether it's just college, you're going to college or you're going to have a career. It's literally both. So we have a couple of things just to let you know that the most recent numbers that were in the 13-14 year, which is three or four pieces of paper down, you had an overall enrollment in ROP of 2,338 students for the 13-14 year, which is a sizable number of students. And those are students that were from all three of the high schools. You compare that to 07-08, where you had 1,589 students. And so the growth since 07-08 has been substantial, from 1,589 to 2,338. And as I said, I'm walking through this, and you can come back really quick. Josephine and Dr. Coughlin have worked out some of the financial information, which is just says West Covina Unified, 07-08, 13-14, and then 14-15 is only half a year, where they've taken a look at the ADA that was in 07-08 and now in the cost per ADA and the cost per student, and that's on the one sheet of paper. And, you know, if Josephine and Dr. Coughlin want to make any comments about that, of course, there's, you know, lots of formulas behind it, lots of pages with school services, but they tried to make it simple in terms of what's the money been coming in and how many students have been enrolled, so therefore how have those dollars been used, and they've been used very effectively over the years to where we're serving more students with the same amount of money. We haven't really gotten much more money since 07-08. Small, tiny increments since 07-08, but a huge growth of over 800 students in West Covina since then. So if there's any comments about that. Not only do we train for careers, but we have a number of programs approved for A to G. The one little list here, these are the classes that you are currently offering A to G in your three high schools. However, if you take a look at the UC website, we're approved for how many? 53 courses are approved for A to G. So you're only using maybe a dozen of them right now. And the deadline, all you need to do, you don't have to develop these courses. The nice thing about the way the portal works, if there's a course that you're interested in, offering that's already been approved for A to G through us. All you have to go is to the UC website and enter that as a course offering for yourself. You do not have to go through the course approval process with them. But there's a deadline, which is...
February 1st.
Mm-hmm. So they open it twice a year, though. Yeah. So it's not the deadline. There will be another one in the fall, I believe.
Right.
But the one right now is February 1st. So for future planning, you can always look at this list. This is the most recent one. We add them through the year so that it's not a static list. This is a snapshot basically today of what we have approved. But we have one of the highest number of courses that are RLP courses approved for A to G, and they're in all the categories, A through G. They're not just the G. So that's very helpful, too. And Kim's going to talk for a minute. We have, in addition to serving kids that are going to college and university and kids that are going to go straight out and to a certification and a career or both, we serve a large number of your special needs, special ed students. And Kim's going to say just something really quick about that.
Absolutely.
And then we have a couple of handouts there.
We have a workability grant, and so where we fund students and to go out into work sites, and they're paid internships. They also have an opportunity to attend our Marquette Pathways Academy, and so that's very much project-based learning and a smaller environment, so often excel in that alternative type of setting. You'll see a flyer in your packet that on March 18th, this will be our third annual transition night. And we have over 50 vendors that come that talk about resources for students with disabilities. We'll also be providing a gamut of resources, too, for those with mild learning disabilities, as well as the more severely disabled students. So anything from independent living to, we're also going to be providing a FAFSA workshop, how SSI works and how to manage that. Last year we had over 200 families that came and participated in that resource, because oftentimes when students leave the high school and they've had this wonderful nurturing here, they need to know what resources are out there for them. So we collaborate with the districts that we serve and regional center and Department of Rehab to provide that. The other last thing I wanted to say just quickly is the ROP provides buses to your three high schools to bring students over, and I am pleased to report that they take full advantage of that. So students are picked up at your high school campuses, bused to Del Norte, and then they're given tours to our high school or through our post-secondary classes, and so that they have an opportunity to talk to the teacher, to meet with financial aid, walk through that process. And I think it's part of that TLC that they're given that helps them feel comfortable in a post-secondary setting such as East St. Gabriel Valley ROP. That's all I have to share.
And we do FAFSAs at the high schools as well. We go to all the high schools in the evenings and provide those as a service to your school. And the student does not need to come to us and use their FAFSA after they graduate for us to do the program. Once they have the FAFSA, they can go anywhere. So it's just a service we provide to the schools. The last two things before we get to the award is that in the future, maybe the next meeting, there will be an action item about adding a sentence to the current JPA agreement. So there is a draft of an item plus a copy of the entire JPA agreement, and of which West Covina, as I said, was one of the three main authors of the JPA agreement, along with Charter Oak and Covina Valley. Those were the three founding members of the JPA back in 1971. Basically, what the one sentence says is that even though your ADA and your student attendance is much higher than it was in 07-08, that the pass-through money is still based on 07-08 attendance, not 13-14. And until such time that something changes in the state of California, this basically says that. So it's just a statement that protects the districts and also just says it. We know that the money was frozen in 07-08 ADA, And it was, and as you can see, we went from an enrollment of 1,500 approximately to over 2,300, almost 2,400. But we're not saying you're passing through that equivalent. It's still based on the 07-08 ADA. So that's basically what this is. If you need any information, you can work through us, and we'll provide you any information on that as well. And it is it's a clarification that's on the JPA. So that is going to all of the school boards, and it has already been passed by four of our seven. And so the last thing we want to show with you is that there's an organization called the International Business Education Partnership Network, and they are a nonprofit organization that basically is based in France. And every other year, they give an award called the Global Best for programs won in each of the main continents. So we have North America, Asia, Europe, Africa. And then the Asia Pacific, which would be Australia, New Zealand. And we applied for that on behalf of the school districts last year in the area of STEM. And happy to announce that the application won for North America. And this is in the area of STEM. We knew that our board president at the time accepted the award. That's Helen Hall, who is the board president last year. Eileen Miranda Jimenez is now the current board president, but she wasn't the board president when we got the award, unfortunately. But Helen did. We knew we were going to get the award for North America, but they did not announce the award, the worldwide thematic award, until that event happened back in September. So we were just thrilled to find out that not only did you win in the geographical area, but you won in the thematic award worldwide. So you are now a worldwide model for STEM education, mixing STEM and career training together. And so that's something to be very proud of. So you get two awards this evening. One of them is for, now this is the one that's the thematic winner for North America. That's pretty good all by itself, okay? And then this one is the worldwide, oh, here, they're slipping, there we go. This is the worldwide thematic winner in the area of science, technology, engineering, and math for the world. You can't do much better than that, so congratulations. So, yes, please. So you can hold them both. Oh, they're not too bad. Thank you. And then this is the geography for North America, and this one is the worldwide thematic winner in STEM.
Well, where do you go to camera?
So okay.
Oh. You get the camera good. Good.
Right.
Good.
Why don't we do questions?
Yeah, that'd be terrific.
How long have you been doing the transition night?
This will be our third annual transition night, and Wes Covina's been really involved. I work with Jill Sahinyak. I see her actually once a month at our transition task force meetings, and she's been a great partner in this. Everybody works together to make this happen, to provide vendors, and then she takes the responsibility for inviting the families in the district to come.
And then is it just tables? And so the families can choose what tables they want to go and speak to, or is there actually speakers that they listen to and
then
go?
There's both, actually. So we have 53 tables of services, community colleges, of course, independent living is a service, and various post-secondary, and then we have breakout sessions. So about conservatorship, SSI, independent living, and this year we had a request because we had lots of service for more severely disabled students, but I had a request from our transition task force to provide some more services for learning disabled students. Mm-hmm. So we decided to provide the FAFSA, right there. So our financial aid department is going to be doing that from 2 p.m. till 6 p.m. So students and their parents can come through. And I was attended a financial aid workshop last week, and they walk them right through it. They actually do the application with them. And so the parents leave with such a sigh of relief, and the students are motivated. And so we'll do that for 4 hours.
Thank you so much for this. This is awesome. I wish when my son would have graduated, you would have been doing it then. But now I'm going to pass it on to all the families that I know. I'm on the Parents Place board, and our number one call now is families transitioning into adulthood and their concerns. So I'm going to pass this out to them. I know they're going to be so relieved because this is going to answer a lot of questions. So I appreciate the time and effort that went into this.
And if a student has been out like and graduated maybe several years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, that doesn't mean they can't come back. And so we get a number of students that were maybe special ed in high school, and it's a couple of years later, and they've kind of sort of tried to figure out what to do, and they haven't quite landed yet. And so we get a number of young people in their 20s who come back and start. So you don't have to be just out of high school.
That is awesome.
And they would still qualify for the FAFSA, too. You know, it's not, in other words, if they haven't used financial aid and they qualify, even if they're 25, they can come at 25 and we'll still do the FAFSA for them and we'll still enroll them in a program. So it's never too late.
That's great to know.
I think our oldest student is 60s?
60s.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I had the opportunity at both back to school nights to, it wasn't back to school nights, it was open houses, to visit your sign language classes.
Oh, yeah.
And now, neither of them had textbooks. The teacher had a book that she was working from, but the students didn't have texts. Is the school responsible for providing that, or does ROP provide the text?
We do provide textbooks, so our ASL teachers do have textbooks. Now, I don't know if that was an in-between.
It was in August.
Okay.
So we had and it may have been early September, and I remember asking the principal about it, but then I never followed up. But there was a fantastic college text that they were using, but then the students didn't weren't able to take that home, but it was a fabulous text.
Normally our instructor put in request to purchase book at the beginning of the year, so maybe that was the time that we were waiting for the vendors to deliver the books to us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, because then, you know, you ask a question that night, and then all of a sudden I saw that and I thought, I'll follow up. So now all the students have a textbook, and is it the same textbook that the instructor was using? It was actually a college textbook.
And I would need to check. And I know the teacher you're talking, and I've been in his classroom, so I know who you're talking about. He's a wonderful teacher. But I would need to check to see if it's the same.
And I appreciate that. I know that's kind of off the cuff. But
that's a good question. And we try to encourage our teachers to get those textbooks requests in as quickly as possible so that you know, when the U.S. school year starts, they're there.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
But to mention that, that is another. The ASL is a UCA approved.
I saw that on your A through G. So,
yeah. And we have 4 years approved for foreign language with the ASL.
And both of the teachers, I appreciate the fact that you're having deaf instructors teach the class. I think that's a wonderful opportunity for our students to really learn not just the language but the culture.
Culture.
Mr. Flowers has questions.
No. Good afternoon, ladies. Thank you for coming. And it was a pleasure to meet you guys at the community when they welcomed Dr. Hemming. And Eileen had invited the board also to come visit your campus. So I look forward to it. I haven't ever had an opportunity to go there yet, since I'm kind of new on the board. But I'm so looking forward to it and visiting your campus and see what's going on and really get to know it. And, you know, just I'm definitely going to read about it. And since Eileen's on the board, I have a lot of questions for her now. You know, so, but I'm excited. Thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you. And we kind of glossed over it, but we do the community day school, expulsion alternative program for you. And so it was nice to hear that there are some students returning.
Yes.
Yes, yes. That's all yes, we
that's
great.
What we're all about.
That is great.
Get them back.
Thank
get them back to you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
What date is that on your mind? The date is, I know what I read.
I would love to. This is awesome.
I don't need to be in the picture.
Yes, oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is awesome. This is your award, not ours.
Please. Yes.
If I want to go, then we have to fly.
This will be right up on the website.
I had asked for Dr. Hinman, because he's new. I had promised Mr. Flowers from the time that he started.
Yes, you did.
But if you want to join this camera, that's fine. We'll just have to fly it as a board.
Wow, you're an expert. I don't know.
Thank you very much, all.
It's awesome. Look forward to seeing
so that
you.
They can
you
can
so
that
they
can
thank you for submitting
that.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
At 10 o'clock. 10 to about noon, followed by 8.
Okay, we will move on to the next section of our board agenda. The first is board president's report. I do not have a report. Do any of the board members? Ms. Moretta Jimenez?
Okay, first I want to welcome Dr. Hinman. I'm so excited that you're here. And I'm sorry that I missed the reception, but I was very sick and I didn't want to get anybody else sick. So I stayed back, but I did call Dr. Hinman on his first day to welcome him onto the board. I wanted to bring your attention. I know Ms. Lessiger did this amazing document for us that I constantly refer to throughout the year, but San Jose has changed their open house. So I wanted to make you all aware of that in case anybody was wanting to go. Originally, they said the 19th, but San Jose changed it to the 12th. So it'll be February the 12th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. So I wanted to make everybody aware of that. I also wanted to congratulate Coronado. Mr. Marentes is there with the Adult Transition Program. That was an excellent, very moving and touching promotion of the students back in December. It happened after our last board meeting. So I wanted to say well done. And the students were absolutely enjoyable and adorable. They were hugging everybody. I got big hugs that day. I also wanted to let my colleagues know that I've been appointed to the annual education conference committee for CSBA. So if you have any suggestions for offerings for workshops or keynote speakers, my first meeting is January the 29th, and they want us to come prepared with that. Those recommendations, please go ahead and contact me. That goes for the staff as well. So I'm really excited about that. That I'll be on the planning committee for the annual education conference. Also, I had emailed, but here's a hard copy. Cami, I think you already did it, right, when you were there as a delegate? So if you can pass one to Dr. Hinman. I don't know if Mr. Flowers did that while he was at the conference, but I did. I'll pass this one down this way. But those are the letters. The CSBA has decided to work very, very strongly this year to repeal the reserve cap. So they are asking every district across the state to put together a resolution, go to the advocacy days, because it doesn't bode well for districts. Again, it's about local control, but then they turned around and took away the financial local control from us. This is a priority, a big priority for CSBA this year. Cami, do you have anything you want to add about the repealing the reserve cap and how we're going to work on that?
Amen.
So it's going to be a very big action that we're going to take on. So you can sign your name to that letter and fax it over. They were collecting them at the conference, but I wanted to make sure that the district was aware. So that's going to be a big piece this year. And that was it. So thank you very much.
Ali, is the fax number on here?
You have to fax it to the governor's office. I don't think it's on there because CSBA was collecting those particular letters. But it's easy to find on the state's website. Okay, thank you.
Student representatives report?
Edgewood High School, on Thursday, January 8th, both boys and girls soccer team had their first league game of the season versus Bassett High School. The girls varsity won their first home game of the season by scoring 3 goals. Friday, January 9th, boys basketball also began their season at home, with all 3 levels winning their games versus Bassett. On January 16th, a representative from JAWS students will be visiting the high school to discuss capping gowns to the seniors and class rings to the junior class. ASBM Renaissance students are working on the upcoming Renaissance Rally, which will be occurring on Friday, January 23rd during third period. Juniors that are full IB diploma will begin Theory of Knowledge classes in the Edgewood High School Media Center after school. And Tuesday, January 20th, the graduation committee will meet in the staff lounge to discuss graduation details. For Coronado High School, our new semester has started with 20 new students and 18 students returning to one of the traditional high schools. The ASVAB test was given last Tuesday. Our basketball team has its fourth game next week. Sadly, one of our students, Eric Sines, was killed during the winter break. Please keep his family in your thoughts and prayers. And for West Covina High School, this year's musical, Shrek the Musical, will be featured at the Covina Center for the Performing Arts from January 14th to the 17th. Tickets for the Friday and Saturday showing have already been sold out. The musical features a vast array of talents from students on campus and have spent many months in preparation for this event. Tickets are still on sale on the Covina Center website. On January 23rd, our school will be hosting our winter sports rally in order to commemorate our winter season athletics as well as to recognize the many athletes on our campus. On January 24th, our school will be hosting the SAT on campus. And on behalf of all the students on campus, we welcome new Superintendent Dr. Hinman, and we are excited to welcome you to our district and look forward to the coming years.
And I misunderstood Mr. Flowers, so I will backtrack slightly to Board of Education reports. Mr. Flowers?
I just want to officially say welcome, Dr. Hinman. You know, and we're just glad to have you. And again, as I mentioned, that the board is invited 21st of January to the Rotary Breakfast, Sunrise Breakfast. So you guys invited, and we're going to treat you guys. So I hope you guys can make it 7:15. Said we're going to meet at Carol's. So that's it. And just want to just officially welcome Dr. Hinman. And we're glad to have you.
Thank you.
Okay, next item on the agenda is items from the floor, public comment. I have not received any blue cards. Is there anybody who would like to address the board at this time?
Good evening, everybody. At the beginning of the school year, right around the back-to-school nights, my son had an incident with his IEP. Since I believe it's been resolved. There was also an incident with his PE teacher. We submitted a doctor's note. The PE teacher allowed him to participate in PE. I was not happy. My son does not dictate. These teachers are not doctors. If I give him a doctor's note, if I say no PE, I literally mean that, no PE. The doctors mean no PE. Again, over the holiday season, my family and I was involved in a very nasty car accident. My son was given a note, said no PE. Same teacher, same issue, cannot follow, no PE. I'm not going to play games with this district or anybody else when it comes to my son's education and health. My son will not be suspended over the fact that he played PE anyway. And I want resolvement. I don't want my son to be with that teacher anymore. I want him moved. And I don't want his collaborative classes to be impacted.
Is there anyone else who would like to address the board? Seeing no one, we will move on to the business session of our meeting. First item is approval of agenda and consent items. Are there any items that a board member would like to remove from consent?
I just have a quick question on 19.
I don't believe there are any other items that we could actually add. So do I have a motion to approve the agenda and consent items with the deletion of 19 from consent?
I'll move.
I'll second it.
Moved by Ms. Polis, seconded by Ms. Miranda Jimenez. Any objections? Hearing none, motion passes 4-0. Okay. The next item on our agenda is board member vacancy. Dr. Hinman, are you addressing this?
Yes, I'm going to ask Mr. Seaman to give a brief overview of where we're at, and then we can open it up for board discussion.
Item number four in your packet has some timelines added to it, and also what was put at your seat is some documents from the last time that we filled a vacancy, which was almost a year, exactly a year ago, with some letters and things that would have to be revised with names, and then also the application that contained some of the questions that we used for provisional appointment. What we need to decide, or what the board needs to decide, is whether we do a provisional appointment or do we order an election. The timelines for ordering an election are there, and the approximate cost for ordering an election are there on the transmittal, page 4. And the code calls for the decision to be made within 60 days. And if we do order an election, it has to be at least 130 days prior to the election. So that's where these dates come into play, in accordance with the elections code as well as the education code.
Any board member comments?
I would go for the appointment. I don't want to, personally, I don't want to go to any extra cost at this point, especially with so short a period of time, because our next election is going to be in November for that open spot. So, and we'll be paying for the election then, which will be significantly less because there'll be other things on the ballot at that time. So that's just my personal opinion, is to go to move forward with the appointment.
Okay, originally I was going to discuss and recommend with the board that we wait until the election, but because the law requires that we make a decision within 60 days, I'm going to go ahead and support that we appoint. So my speech is out the window.
Mr. Flowers?
No.
Any comments? I will also be voting to make the provisional appointment. My only question is there a way to tighten this timeline? Basically, have us make the appointment by the first meeting in February. And at first I wasn't sure, but thank you for providing this letter, because that appears to be close to what we did last time. Because last time we approved on January 14, 2014, to fill the seat by appointment, and then the applications were due by the 7th, and then we held a public meeting on February 18th. And so I don't recall if we moved our meeting, had a special meeting, but is there a way to tighten this timeline?
I think we had a special meeting.
I don't remember if we had a special meeting or not. I mean, you're talking about the timeline for making an appointment?
Yes.
That is pretty much up to you, except once you make the appointment, there's a 10-day period there. That gives the public the ability to petition to hold an election, but other than that, the timeline's really about advertising and getting applications and making a decision, the board making a decision on an appointment.
Mike, are we going to use the same questions that you used before?
That's up to the board. That you have the questions there that were used the last time?
Yes.
We can revise them, keep them the same. It's up to the board.
Okay, because I'm fine with that. That leaves the seat empty for 2.5 months, effectively. And I think it's important that we have a full governing board. And so I would like to propose that we make the appointment at the February 10th meeting, because I think this part where you have advertised vacancy was actually the time frame where we were also accepting applications. And so I would propose that we make the appointment at the February 10th board meeting and have the application period end by the 4th, so the applications come in our board agenda packet over the weekend. And then have the new board member. There should be enough time for the 10 days at the February 24th meeting.
How early did you do? I can't remember, but I know on the 18th of that last year,
yes,
is when I got appointed.
Right,
it's on the 18th.
Exactly.
So I don't know how far in advance did you guys do it.
We approved making the appointment at the equivalent of this board meeting. Oh.
Are the timelines, are they flexible, or are these legal timelines?
They're flexible. The timeline doesn't really come into play legally until after the appointment's made, and you have to give a certain amount of time for the public to respond, and you file it with the county.
tired.
Well, you know what? It still follows the same timeline, because if you look at the first, second, third paragraph of the second page, it says the successful candidate will be seated at the regular meeting on March the 11th, 2014.
Correct.
So it's actually following all the same timeline.
I know, and I understand they did that, and maybe
so
with our board agenda
with
last year, we had an issue, what? And we have an extra week this year because of how the calendar falls. But I think it's important to advertise, get the seat filled as soon as possible.
Well, I'm fine with this timeline.
And Mr. Spence also resigned later than Mr. Cox did, so that affects it.
Ms. Shoemaker, if I can just suggest whatever timeline that you approve, that you do it with the provision that we check with district attorney just to make sure that we meet all the parameters.
That's fine. And
yeah.
I would also suggest, since we already have this template, that we start advertising by January 15th, which is Thursday.
Mm-hmm. But don't we need to decide our questions, and if we want to see if this is still appropriate, maybe some things need to change, because we can't do any of that today. But we can call a special meeting, though, to see if we want to change a few of the questions
why
around.
Why can't we do it tonight? Because it is
tonight.
It's on our agenda.
Yeah.
I thought it's on our agenda to vote for one or the other.
It's to determine the means. And so if we determine that we are going to make a provisional appointment, it's been this. We can discuss the process for making that provisional appointment, which includes the application.
I thought that's what we were doing. So,
we can vote to make to declare a provisional appointment, and then we can actually sit here and start wordsmithing. Because that,
if the board wants to do an appointment, we can talk about what that looks like.
So you can talk about the questions.
Yes.
We can start wordsmithing.
Yes.
Okay,
Mr. Stephen, help me on this. As far as the actual questions themselves and the wordsmithing, that doesn't have to be board approved. That could be done.
It doesn't have to be necessarily done at the table. That's up to the board. I mean, I think I agree that if you are deciding you do a provisional appointment, the process to do that appointment can be discussed under this item. This document, letter, notification, and the questions can be devised away from the table. It's up to you. It's up to the board. It could be done by one or two of you if that's what you agreed to. But, of course, you'd have to agree to that.
I mean, Mike, I wasn't here last time. Who did these letters?
The entire board.
Okay.
We did together. It was like a study session.
So,
and three of us were here that felt really good about this.
The one caution I want to make on your quicker timeline is, you know, so everyone understands, once the appointment is made, I've said it a couple times, but once the appointment's made, there's what I'll call a 30-day grace period that we file with the county, and that doesn't actually take effect for 30 days. So we speed up the timeline, doesn't necessarily mean they take effect right then. It's going to be, there's got to be some time for the public to petition.
The 30-minute time frame starts.
Starts, right. It'll speed it up, but it won't be sitting in the seat by next meeting. So.
Okay, well, I'm fine with this timeline.
I would like someone sitting in there as soon as possible, because right now we're starting a new learning curve. And as Mr. Hinman is learning, our new our new board member can be sitting there, because we're going to be doing a lot of things with you. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be doing it, we've already started our 100 days.
Yes.
So it's going to be changing, and there's going to be vital input that you're going to need from the entire board. And it would really do a disservice to have one voice less that's representing the community and knows the community. So, in my opinion, the sooner we have that person sitting there, because we have a new superintendent, the better, to have all of the voices hearing the same thing at the same time, and not having to play catch-up in such a short period, because I know we're going to be doing a lot. And I appreciate you giving us that 100-day plan and us having that vision, and I would like the other person to have that opportunity to be part of that as soon as possible.
So the problem is just to getting our questions down. If we're going to go with the same ones that we have, or do you want to revise them?
For me, we spent a lot of time just a year ago setting these questions, approving these questions. These are the questions that helped us select you as our other appointed board member. I think they cover the basic areas that we need to know the background of the potential candidate, potential board member. And so if this had been an application that was done 10 years ago or even 5 years ago where things have changed in the educational community, I think I would need more time to go over them. But at this point, I am fine with the questions as they are.
Well, speaking for myself, I had to answer these questions, so.
Sorry.
I mean, gosh, guys.
You thought it was pretty thorough, huh?
Yes, indeed. But I know, I just know that the ones who applied when I applied, they're just going to reach us to do the same thing over again.
They'll submit their same application.
Yeah, they'll submit the same one.
And we had excellent candidates.
Yes, you did.
Regardless if they submit the same one, they'll still be on the same page as anybody new applying because you all have all filled
so
it
true.
Out once.
So true.
And so my recommendation is that we advertise and have the application period from January 15th through February 4th. We make the appointment and have the give the candidates an opportunity to address the board at the February 10th meeting, and that we seat the new board member at the February 24th board meeting.
So you have this, them put it in our packets next board meeting or before the next board meeting?
Before the next. It'll be part of our February 10th board meeting package.
Now, do we want to make it part of the 10th, or do we want to do a special meeting like we did last time? That was the only thing we came in to do.
I think we can adjust our schedule to maybe come in earlier. We can always, if we get more than last time.
Yeah, because it took us, Monica helped me, about 2 hours? It was
last time when I was on, I think we had about 8 to 10 applicants.
But and part of the reason we did such a comprehensive questionnaire is so that you'll recall the night that we appointed you, you had a few minutes to address the board.
Yes.
We weren't going through a million questions. And so I think if we keep our agenda light, we start earlier, or even we may not be able to start earlier if we have regularly scheduled board times, but we'll address that. We can get through it in one day.
We have to also consider in the timeline the what we did last time was we had a candidate informational where the candidates got the opportunity to sit and get a copy of the strategic plan and our finances and ask the cabinet any questions. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, we did a day one and an evening one.
Yes.
To give people the flexibility of coming. Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
did.
You. So
I've actually
have to make sure that that happens as well.
Been fortunate enough to participate in one of those recently, so I'm very familiar with the process.
Okay.
So,
Dr.
Peter, do you have any questions that you?
I do, but it's really the board's decision, so no, it's facetious. No, I think you're very fortunate in that you've just been through this process, so I think you're probably more expert than most sitting up here. I know that you've been provided endless documentation about process. The only caveat I would say, again, is whatever you approve, that you approve it with the agreement that the district attorney will approve the timelines so that we don't get in trouble there.
Good advice.
And thank you, Ms. Miranda Jimenez, for reminding me about those meetings that were held. And so I would say let's close the application period on February 3rd, and that way we have time, or you will have time.
Yes.
On February 4th and 5th to maybe hold those meetings.
And I will say publicly that I think those meetings are very important for anyone that is interested in serving the community. It's an opportunity to come in and meet with cabinet, and not only can we give them an overview, but it gives them an opportunity to ask us direct questions about what it really means to be a board member and the time it takes and the knowledge base. So I support those meetings so heartily.
Well, speaking on my behalf, when I came last year, it was very, very beneficial for me. When I got a chance to sit down and see the superintendent and talk to and people ask questions, it was very beneficial.
There's one piece in the bylaws that I think you just touched on as far as declaring whether they're eligible or not by less than a quorum of the board. The timeline you just said, I don't know when that would happen. You close on the 3rd, you meet with the on the 4th and 5th with superintendent and cabinet. I think the eligibility needs to be declared before that. Did you do that last time? I don't know who did that the last time.
No, we did not.
I don't.
We just
it's got covered. I mean, it's in our bylaws, but can we read it?
Yeah, Ms. Simi, yeah, could you define eligibility?
A committee consisting of less than a quorum of the board shall ensure that applicants are eligible for board membership and announce the names of eligible candidates.
We did not do that last time.
They'll provide candidates with appropriate information regarding board member responsibilities. The board may interview the candidates at a public meeting, may accept oral or written public input, and shall select the provisional appointee by a majority vote. There's no process to this. Basically, somebody, based on this, I would understand that somebody from the board needs to declare that whoever applies is eligible.
I
don't think there's a big time frame there, but...
I meet with the superintendent to go over the agenda on February 3rd. So I would make the suggestion that, one, I could go over them with him, and if there is one other board member who's interested in being part of that process, they are part of the process on February 3rd. And then if for some reasons one comes in or a couple come in the afternoon of February 3rd, then the superintendent can, again, the next day, meet with those same board members to confirm anybody who filed at the last minute.
Ms. Seaman,
I'm available. I can meet with you.
Just to be clear for our edification, when you say eligibility, is that via Ed Code state statute eligibility? What are you referencing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So,
and they're 18.
So you'll have all that. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Can I suggest keeping the same end date, the 30th, then?
Okay.
So if the applicants have to be in by the 30th, then we'll have them all organized for you on the 3rd to look at. Then we can have the cabinet meetings on the 4th and 5th.
That will give you the whole week to, based on the entire cabinet schedule and the superintendent's schedule those meetings.
Is it possible we can get those packets before that Thursday, before our board packets? You know, it takes a lot of time to read. I can concentrate on my board stuff. So if you get it earlier, I can come in and pick up those packets, those applications, or whatever.
Well,
as long as we have them.
They won't be until that day.
Because we still have to go over whether or not they're eligible.
But I heard our board president say that it was going to be a light agenda. So we'll have to
actually they would give them to us on the 30th, which is the week before you get your packets. So you could get them before your normal Thursday packet.
Okay.
If that's okay with everybody.
We'll make the deal that as soon as they're ready, we'll send them out to board members.
There isn't a question.
Well, they're ready and declared eligible. Yeah. Then we'll send them out.
There isn't a question on here that says, "Are you registered to vote?"
I didn't get that question. No, that wasn't obvious.
You live in the district.
We can see their addresses, and we could run those through just like we do any students to make sure that they have a residence in our catchment area. But there isn't anything saying, are you 18 years or older, or are you a registered voter? And if that's a criteria, and we're saying that these people are,
are we allowed to ask how old they are? I know we don't have to publicly put it on our documents.
But can we put 18 or older?
Are you over 18? Are you already registered to vote?
I believe we can because we're verifying that they're eligible for this particular position.
Right.
I don't think you can ask their exact age or their birth date.
And I wasn't asking for that. If
18
two of
or
our
older.
Board members are going to be certifying that these people can be that we're accepting their candidacy or their application, then I think the only way to do that is to say they check the boxes unless we go down to the registrar's office and buy a list and hopefully you can on it.
Okay, so we'll add those two questions.
I can't remember doing that.
That's
and then in an update, can you provide clarification on exactly what we'll have to do to certify?
Yes. And again, in your bylaws refers to the education code, so we can add that separate piece. We can add it to the questions.
I think you can just add over 18 and registered
to vote. Yeah, right. Here.
Okay, so yes. add the requirements into the applications. Got it.
And I put the education code there so they know why we're asking.
Right.
Change the dates.
You should do it before. Do you have children in the school?
I had to be the task person here, but on the agenda item number on page 4. Mm-hmm. So the advertising vacancy, the board has changed that to what dates, to be specific?
I think we left it.
As soon as, okay.
19 to 30.
I will go ahead and move that we fill the vacancy of Steve Cox by making a provisional appointment. We will advertise the vacancy and have the application period start January 15th, and all applications must be received by 4 p.m. on January 30th. We will make an appointment at the February 10th, 2015 board meeting with the intention to seat the new board member at the February 24th, 2015 board meeting.
Okay.
Do I have a second?
And what was the caveat that you wanted us to add, Dr. Hinman?
Provided district attorney signs off on the timelines.
Okay, provided that the district's attorney approves the timeline.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been moved by me, seconded by Ms. Polis. Any other board member discussion questions? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 4-0. The next item on our agenda is appointment of Director of Special Education, Dr. Hinman.
Thank you. I'd like to pass this item to Mr. Seaman to make this very, very exciting recommendation.
It is exciting. This is a very important position with us, and you know we've advertised and recruited and had a number of applications over the last couple months since Ms. Alexander has resigned, and involved many of the stakeholders in the process, had a panel interviews of a number of candidates, and we would like to recommend Dr. Royal Lord III as our next Director of Special Education.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
It's been moved by Ms. Miranda Jimenez and seconded by Ms. Polis to approve the appointment of Dr. Royal Lord III as Director of Special Education. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
So,
motion carries 4-0.
So, Mr. Seaman, if you would please do the introduction.
Ms. Shoemaker and the board. Okay.
Really quickly.
Yes.
The rest of the board members are not aware of this, and so I want to give Dr. Hinman a little bit of credit for this. He recommended that as we appoint positions such as the Director of Special Education, that if the candidate is here, we allow them to be introduced and maybe say a few words. And so back to you, Mr. Seaman.
And take pictures.
I just want to give a little history. I wasn't here when this happened, but the reason they stopped inviting people is one time the board did not approve somebody. And I'm so glad that we're approving our special ed director tonight. I'm excited about that.
I believe Dr. Lord's really excited about that, too. But without any further delay, I'd like to introduce to the board Dr. Royal Lord.
And yes, I am thrilled it was approved. Thank you. Board members, superintendent, assistant superintendents, I want to thank you for this opportunity and for the trust that you've placed in me to lead your special ed department. I am both eager and excited to work with the families, the staff members, the students, and community members within the district and the community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you introduce who's here with you?
Oh, this is my wife, Denise, and
Hello,
my mother-in-law, Jean.
Welcome aboard, and congratulations on your recent, you graduated with your PhD.
I graduated last February.
Right.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, pictures.
Yes. Or the website.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Good idea.
As difficult also for this is for me to say, he also teaches at UCLA. So just to show that I'm not, you know, completely impartial when it comes to good employees.
That's right. Yeah. BSC fans.
Yeah. I'm actually a Nebraska fan, so.
Yes.
I think maybe in front of the dais would be great, kind of.
And then it,
Dr. Henry.
And does your wife want to come?
Oh, yes, oh. Yes, please, yes. Yes, the wife, the mother-in-law, the family.
Appropriately dressed.
Come on.
You know what?
We'll do it from the shoulders up. There you go. The shoulders up. I have your back. I got it. Can you do one with the mother-in-law? Wait. Mom-in-law's here. No? Okay. Favor. Sorry, I forgot the title.
All right. Very exciting.
Okay.
Thank you for coming.
The next item on our agenda is an information report that I'm sure is going to be thoroughly entertaining and exciting and detail-filled. Mr. Seaman, the Williams Valenzuela Casey lawsuit settlement, second quarter report of complaints and resolutions.
I just have not brought myself to be able to do a PowerPoint on this. I am glad to announce, for I don't know how many times in a row, that we have no complaints this quarter under the Williams Valenzuela lawsuits.
Great. Thank you.
That would look great on the PowerPoint.
That's right.
Okay, the next item is number 19. Ms. Polis, you had a question?
It was a quick question, and I've already had the opportunity to speak to the superintendent and the assistant suit. And it was about the on page 48 of the report, it says we've had a decrease of 2 ADA, or is it anticipated for this school year? And when we did our walkthroughs, we saw the declining enrollment in all of our schools, and then just to see that the number 2. So I called, and I appreciated the explanation I got, and I just would like the public to hear what I was told.
Thank you. Dr. Coughlin?
If you look on page 48, the first thing about this audit report, it's as of June 30th, 2014. So it looks at the enrollment, and it on this page there's a line that says budget, and it shows that the enrollment looks like it's only down 2. Well, the reason it's only down 2 and not down more is it includes the students we took back from the LACO program. Rio Verde. We're in declining enrollment because of when you look at the general ed. We're actually down 101 students this year, and we're projected to go down another 100 next year. So we are in a state of declining enrollment. If you were to look at this, you would say, no, we're not. We're only down 2. You have to separate those when we're comparing apples to apples.
And we were paying for our Via Verde students that were in the county program anyway, so at one point.
Yes. So it was a good, hopefully our numbers will turn around, but we are still, as of this year, in declining enrollment of about 100, we're down about 101 students.
And anticipating another 100?
We're anticipating another 100 students next year based on the current trends. And we'll be making adjustments accordingly to staffing for next year.
The elementary and secondary also?
It's cross board. that was kind of the strange thing. It was across the board.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
For sharing that with the community. So if anyone else had the same question I did, that they would hear that answer. Thank you.
Ms. Miranda Jimenez?
Thank you very much, and thank you, Ms. Polos, for catching that. I appreciated the email. I just wanted to thank Dr. Coghlan and staff and Manoj. Thank you so much. I know you worked up very well on the audit, and it came back with positive findings. Yes, I know that there were some small stuff that need to be corrected at the high school, and that typically happens with ASB, but I know how hard our departments work, and so I just wanted to publicly thank you all for the excellent work that you've done. We've had excellent audits many, many years in a row. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Is it? Okay. Do I have...
I'll move this item.
I'll second it.
Okay. It's been moved by Ms. Pullis and seconded by Ms. Miranda Jimenez to receive the audit report from Negro and Negro for the 2013-2014 fiscal year. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries 4-0.
Ms. Shoemaker, if I may, I'd like to make a comment and just really commend the board as part of my 100-day process and really doing my due diligence. One of the first things I looked at were your financials. I really want to commend the board for their stewardship over this district. I've been in several districts myself, and I have lots of colleagues, and they've gone through the same difficult times that you have. Yet, you didn't do furloughs. You didn't have the big layoff. You didn't have step and column freeze. You've kept your days. You've done phenomenal, phenomenal work there. I think that really needs to be recognized. Also, Dr. Coghlan, I'd like to commend him as well. So there are lots of areas I want to explore with you as we move in the future, but since this audit just came out, I think it's really imperative that you be recognized for your stewardship because it's you've done a phenomenal job.
Thank you. Thank you.
It was a rough year, a couple of years.
Any Board of Education discussion? Okay.
Yes. You saw in the email, colleagues, that on February 5th at 10 o'clock, there is a tour of the East San Gabriel Valley ROP, and the intention was not to leave anybody out. I had promised Mr. Flowers that he would take a tour, and now that Dr. Hinman had started, it just worked. But if any of my colleagues on the board would like to join us, everybody's welcome. We would just need to then notice it as a meeting. So we would probably have to know sooner rather than later so that we can notice it with enough time. But I just wanted to make that announcement.
And we just got the email this week, at the end of last week. So I'm trying to clear my calendar for that day because I haven't been there since I started on the board. So I would love to take that tour. But I have to do a few things.
Special meeting so we can post 24 hours.
Okay.
Perfect.
I thought we could only do that if it was an emergency.
Yeah, emergency 24, specials 2 or 3 days.
It's not an emergency. Special is 48?
Yeah.
As long as we notice it by the 3rd. Okay. Well, as long as we know by the next board meeting,
right.
We've got plenty of time.
Okay.
Just... colleagues, if anybody else wants to join us.
And for the good of the order, we should get a reminder of that. So we'll get out to the board just the protocols and on the dates and times and when we need to notice things. It's good as a reminder. We'll do that.
Okay. Dates to remember, January 19, 2015, is the Martin Luther King holiday. Schools and district office closed. The next Board of Education meeting is January 27, 2015. And there being no further business, this meeting is adjourned at 8:17.